All right, ready to dive deep into proteins?
Oh yeah, always ready for this stuff.
We've got the BCHM 270 materials, but we're going way beyond textbook stuff here, right?
Absolutely.
This is all about how those tiny proteins impact, well, pretty much everything that happens in our bodies.
And not just how they work, but what happens when they don't.
Exactly. Even tiny changes can cause some serious
Oh,
issues.
for sure. We're talking diseases and all sorts of things.
So we're exploring how these long chains of amino acids, the building blocks, right?
Yep, those are the key players.
How they fold into these incredibly complex 3D structures.
Mind-boggling, really, when you think about it.
And that shape is what gives them their power.
It's like their superpower, yeah.
Okay, I like that, their superpower. So each protein has a unique shape, and that's what lets it do its job.
Precisely. It's like, imagine proteins are the tools in your cells.
Okay, yeah.
Understanding their structure is like knowing exactly which tool you need for a specific task.
Perfect analogy. So, where do we even start with something this complex?
Well, got to start with the basics, right? Amino acids.
Right, back to the building blocks.
They're the foundation of these amazing proteins.
Okay, but what makes them so special? Why are they so important?
Well, think about it. Every amino acid, they all have this common structure.
Okay, so there's some consistency there.
Right, a central carbon atom bonded to four
The
groups.
four groups, okay.
You've got your hydrogen atom, an amino group, a carboxyl group.
Got it.
And then, this is important, you have the R group.
The R group, also called the side chain, right?
You know it. And that's where the magic happens.
So that's what makes each amino acid unique.
Exactly. That R group, it's like the amino acid's personality.
Okay, I can see that.
It determines how it interacts with other amino acids, how the whole protein folds.
So we've got 20 common amino acids,
20 different personalities to play with.
each with its own unique R group, and they can be linked together in any order.
Endless possibilities, right?
It's like an alphabet for proteins.
That's a great way to put it.
So each protein is like a word, and the amino acids are the
I
letters.
like it.
But how do we go from this string of amino acids to a complex 3D structure? How does a protein know how to fold?
Ah, that's the magic of non-covalent bonds. Think of them as these weak attractions between different parts of the amino acid chain.
Okay, so they're like guiding forces.
Exactly. You've got a few types: electrostatic interactions, hydrogen bonds, and then you've got your hydrophobic and hydrophilic interactions.
Okay, break those down for me a bit. Electrostatic interactions are like magnets, right? Opposites attract.
You got it. And hydrogen bonds, think of them as these fleeting bonds between slightly charged atoms.
Okay, I think I remember that from chemistry.
Yeah.
And what about hydrophobic and hydrophilic interactions? Those always confuse me a bit.
Well, imagine this, a big party, right?
All right, I'm picturing it.
Some people are like social butterflies, they love to mingle. That's your hydrophilic amino acids, they love water.
They're drawn to it.
And then you've got the folks who are a little more shy, they prefer to stick together. Those are your hydrophobic amino acids, they want to avoid the water.
So it's like those hydrophobic amino acids are trying to hide in the middle of the protein, away from the water.
Exactly. That's actually a huge driving force in how a protein folds.
Wow, I never thought of it like that.
All these non-covalent bonds, they work together to create the final 3D structure of a protein.
So they're like a team of architects designing a building.
I like that. A team of architects, they're essential. But here's the thing, even a tiny mistake can mess things up.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that earlier. When protein folding goes wrong, it can cause some serious problems.
Absolutely. You get misfolded proteins, they can clump together.
Forming those harmful aggregates. Watch out.
Exactly. Take Alzheimer's disease, for example.
Oh, yeah, that one's a big one.
You get these amyloid beta plaques building up in the brain, and guess what?
They're made of misfolded proteins.
Bingo.
So just one misfolded protein can lead to a serious disease.
It really highlights how important this whole folding process is, doesn't it?
It really does. And to really get a grasp on this, let's look at two specific proteins,
Yeah, good idea.
collagen and hemoglobin.
Perfect examples. They show how the structure of a protein is directly tied to its function.
Okay, so form follows function.
Exactly.
Let's start with collagen. I know it's super important for our skin, but what makes its structure so unique?
Well, think of collagen as the scaffolding of your body.
Okay, the scaffolding, interesting.
It's in your tendons, ligaments, skin, bones, everywhere. And its structure is what gives it strength and flexibility.
So how is it built to be so strong?
Picture this: three protein chains, each twisted into a helix, all intertwined like a rope.
Wow, okay, so it's like a triple helix.
You got it. And every third amino acid in those chains is glycine.
Glycine, that's the smallest amino acid, right?
The smallest but mighty.
Wait, so the smallest one helps make collagen strong. That doesn't seem right.
Well, because glycine is so small, those three chains can pack incredibly tightly together.
Oh, I see. So it's like the tiny but mighty hero holding it all together.
Exactly. But remember, those post-translational modifications we talked about, those are key too.
Right, like hydroxylation, where those hydroxyl groups get added, making it stronger.
You're on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens while the alpha chains are being made inside a part of the cell called the endoplasmic reticulum.
Sounds complicated.
It is, but it's essential. Without those hydroxyl groups, collagen can't form those strong triple helices.
Ah, so it all falls apart without them.
Pretty much.
That's where vitamin C comes in, right? Because it's needed for the enzymes that do the hydroxylation.
You got it. That's why a vitamin C deficiency leads to scurvy. The collagen literally falls apart.
Wow, so something as simple as a vitamin can have a huge impact on our health.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But hang on, there's more to the collagen story. After hydroxylation, those collagen chains get glycosylated.
Glycosylated. Does that mean they get covered in sugar?
It does, sort of. Yeah. Specific sugar molecules attach to certain points on the chains.
Yeah.
And those sugars are crucial for how collagen molecules interact outside the cell, like the mortar between bricks, you know?
Yeah, I gotcha. So first, we've got hydroxylation and glycosylation inside the cell. What happens next? How does collagen get to where it needs to be?
Well, those collagen molecules, all nicely assembled into their triple helix form, get packaged up.
Packaged up? Where do they go?
They're transported out of the cell in these tiny vesicles, like a delivery system.
Little delivery trucks carrying precious cargo? I love it. So once they're outside, they're good to go, right?
Almost. They got to shed their shipping labels first. Special peptides at the ends of the molecules get cleaved off.
So they're getting prepped for the final assembly.
Now they're ready to form those larger collagen fibrils.
Fibrils? Is that just another word for fiber?
Think of a fibril as a bundle of collagen molecules, all lined up and staggered like bricks in a wall.
Okay, yeah, I can picture that.
And to make those fibrils super strong, we need one final step, cross-linking.
Cross-linking, that sounds familiar. It's like adding extra knots to our collagen rope, right?
Exactly. This enzyme called lysyl oxidase comes in.
Lysyl oxidase, what does that do?
It creates covalent bonds between specific points on those collagen molecules. It's like weaving those individual threads into a super strong fabric.
Wow, so many steps involved in making collagen. It's amazing this is happening constantly throughout our bodies.
It really shows how complex and efficient our cells are.
This is incredible. But you mentioned diseases caused by defects in collagen, right? What about those?
You mean conditions like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and osteogenesis imperfecta?
Yes. What goes wrong in those cases?
Well, often it's mutations in those collagen genes we talked about. They can alter the amino acid sequence.
Ah, so the instructions get messed up.
Right, which affects how those collagen proteins fold and assemble.
It's like a typo in the recipe and the whole dish is ruined.
Exactly. And even small changes in the recipe can have big consequences.
Wow, so the body's trying to build with faulty materials. That makes sense. It really shows how important it is for those collagen molecules to be working correctly.
Couldn't agree more. In Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, for example, you get weakened connective tissues, loose joints, stretchy skin, fragile blood vessels, all sorts of issues.
It's crazy how much impact these tiny changes can have. And what about osteogenesis imperfecta or brittle bone disease?
Well, in that case, mutations disrupt the formation of type I collagen.
That's the one crucial for bone strength, right?
That's the one.
So even though collagen is super strong, it's also surprisingly vulnerable to those genetic errors.
It is. And studying these conditions, it helps us understand how collagen is made and how even subtle changes can have a huge impact.
This has been fascinating, but I'm curious, are there other things that can affect collagen production? I mean, beyond genetics?
You're full of great questions, and the answer is yes. There are all sorts of external factors that can impact collagen.
Like what?
Well, for instance, did you know that UV radiation from the sun can actually damage collagen fibers in the skin?
Wait, so that's why sunburns and too much sun lead to wrinkles?
You got it.
Yeah.
UV radiation breaks down collagen, leading to those signs of aging.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And what about smoking? I've heard that's bad for collagen, too.
Oh, absolutely. Those chemicals in cigarette smoke, they mess with collagen production.
Really? How do they do that?
They can interfere with the production process, and they damage existing collagen fibers, too.
So it's like a double whammy.
Pretty much. It's like smoking is sabotaging your body's ability to build and maintain healthy collagen.
Another reason to avoid smoking altogether.
Exactly. And even diet plays a role. Remember how we talked about vitamin C?
Yeah, that's essential for collagen synthesis.
Right. So a diet lacking in vitamin C can impair collagen production.
It all comes back to vitamin C.
It's the unsung hero of collagen. And there's research suggesting that other nutrients like zinc and copper are involved too.
So it's not just about genes, it's about lifestyle choices and diet too.
It's a multifaceted effort.
For sure. But we've talked a lot about the negative stuff. Are there ways to boost collagen or even repair the damage?
That's a great question, and researchers are working on it. There's a lot of interest in therapies that can stimulate collagen production or protect it from damage.
Like what kinds of therapies?
Well, for example, there are topical creams and treatments that claim to boost collagen in the skin. And researchers are also looking at peptides and growth factors.
So there's hope for those of us wanting to keep our skin looking young.
There is. And on a broader level, understanding how collagen is made and broken down has implications beyond just skin health.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Researchers are exploring ways to manipulate these processes for new treatments, for things like wound healing and osteoarthritis.
Wow. So something seemingly simple, like collagen, has a wide range of implications. This deep dive has been amazing. But is there anything else we can learn from collagen?
Oh, definitely. There's always more to uncover.
Well, I'm ready for more. Let's keep diving in. So more about collagen. What else is there to this fascinating protein?
Well, remember how we were talking about different types of collagen?
Right, like some are strong, some are in cartilage. It's a whole family.
Yeah. And each type, it's made of slightly different combinations of those collagen alpha chains.
Okay.
And each is encoded by a separate gene. It's like a whole cookbook of recipes.
So the body picks which recipe it needs. That's cool.
It is. But even creating the chains is just the beginning. They change a lot before they're ready to work. Remember, post-translational modifications.
Right, like adding the hydroxyl groups with hydroxylation makes it stronger.
Exactly. And that happens while the chains are still being made inside this compartment of the cell.
Which a compartment?
It's called the endoplasmic reticulum. It's key because without those hydroxyl groups,
it can't form the triple helix.
No way.
And that's where vitamin C matters, right? For the enzymes that add those groups.
You got it. That's the scurvy connection. Collagen literally falls apart without it.
Wow. So simple, but such a big impact. What happens after hydroxylation, though? Is that the end?
Nope. Those chains then get glycosylated.
Glycosylate, like sugar-coated.
Kinda. Sugar molecules get attached at certain spots. And those sugars are crucial for how collagen molecules interact with each other outside the cell. It's like the mortar that holds bricks together.
Got it. So inside the cell, we have hydroxylation, then glycosylation. What's next? How do they get where they need to be?
Well, now they're all nicely formed into their helix. They get packed up and sent out.
Sent out of the cell.
Yeah, in these tiny vesicles.
Yeah.
Like a delivery system.
Tiny packages. Love it. Yeah. So once they're out, they're ready to work.
Almost. They need to lose their shipping labels. Those extra peptides get cut off.
Okay, so now they can finally...
Now they can assemble into those bigger collagen fibrils.
Fibrils? Isn't that just a fiber?
Think of it as a bundle of collagen molecules.
Yeah.
All lined up but offset from each other like bricks.
Right, I get it.
But to make those fibrils really strong, we need one more thing. Cross-linking.
Cross-linking, that sounds familiar. Is that like adding knots to the rope?
Perfect analogy. This enzyme... lysyl oxidase, it creates bonds between the collagen molecules.
It's like weaving the threads together to make it super strong.
Exactly. Yeah. So many steps, right? And it's happening all the time.
It's mind-blowing. But you mentioned diseases from defects in collagen. What about those?
Like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome or osteogenesis imperfecta?
Yeah. What goes wrong there?
Often it's mutations in those collagen genes we talked about. They mess up the amino acid sequence.
So like a typo in the instructions and the protein comes out wrong.
Exactly. And even small typos can have big consequences.
Wow. So the body is trying to build with the wrong materials. And in Ehlers-Danlos.
There, you get weak connective tissues. Loose joints, stretchy skin, all sorts of problems.
It's amazing how much impact these tiny errors can have. What about brittle bone disease, the osteogenesis imperfecta?
In that case, the mutations mess up type I collagen formation.
That's the one for bone strength, right?
Yep.
So strong as it is, collagen is still vulnerable to these genetic hiccups.
It is. And studying these conditions, it teaches us how even subtle changes can have huge impacts on health.
This is all fascinating. But I'm wondering, are there other things that affect collagen besides genetics?
Great question. And the answer is yes. Lots of external factors matter.
Really? Like what?
For example, UV radiation from the sun. It can damage those collagen fibers in the skin.
So that's why too much sun causes wrinkles? Makes sense?
Breaks down the collagen. And smoking is bad too.
Smoking, how does that affect it?
The chemicals in smoke interfere with collagen production and they damage existing fibers.
It's like a double attack on your collagen.
Yep, it sabotages your body's ability to make and keep healthy collagen.
Yet another reason to quit.
For sure. And diet matters too. Remember vitamin C?
It's like the key to it all.
Right. Not enough vitamin C and collagen and synthesis suffers. There's even some evidence that zinc and copper are involved too.
Wow. So it's not Joe C genes, it's how we live and what we eat.
Multifaceted, exactly.
But with all this talk about damage, are there ways to boost collagen or even repair it?
Now that's the question everyone wants answered, and researchers are on it. Lots of interest in therapies to stimulate or protect collagen.
Like what?
Well, you've got those topical creams claiming to boost collagen in the skin. And research is looking at peptides, growth factors, things like that.
So there's hope for keeping our skin looking good.
There is. But beyond just skin, understanding how collagen is made and broken down, that's important for lots of things.
Oh, in what way?
Researchers are trying to use that knowledge for new treatments. Wound healing, osteoarthritis, all sorts of possibilities.
It's amazing how much we can learn from just one protein.
Absolutely.
This deep dive has been incredible, but I feel like there's always more to learn.
Oh, there definitely is. Collagen is just the beginning.
Well, let's keep exploring. What else is out there in the world of proteins? Wow, proteins are so much more dynamic than I thought. They're not just static structures, are they?
Not at all. It's constant interaction, modifications, assembling into bigger complexes. It never stops.
And that's what keeps us going. It's amazing how these tiny molecules are behind, well, everything. Transporting oxygen, fighting infections, even thinking and feeling.
It all boils down to that structure-function relationship. The shape dictates the protein's abilities. And mess with the shape, even a little bit.
Things go wrong, like sickle cell. Just one amino acid change in hemoglobin and...
chaos. Mm. And all those diseases we talked about, Alzheimer's, prions, even the collagen disorders.
It makes you realize how precise this folding process is.
Hugely precise. And that's why research in this field is so important. Understanding how it works, how they interact, what happens when it goes wrong, that's key for new treatments.
It's like a massive puzzle, and each protein is a piece. The more we understand, the clearer the picture becomes.
And the amazing thing is we're just getting started. There's so much more to learn about proteins, new discoveries happening all the time.
Well, I'm walking away with a whole new respect for these molecules. Makes me want to learn more. Any last thoughts before we wrap up?
Just this. Remember, proteins aren't some abstract concept. They're the building blocks of life itself, the tiny machines keeping us going. The more we learn about them, the more we learn about ourselves and how amazing this world is.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This has been an incredible journey into the world of proteins, and I can't wait to see what other secrets we uncover in future deep dives. Until then, keep those protein gears turning.